You know the sound when the last bit of the bathwater hits the drain? Now imagine gross domestic product last quarter. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's news this morning that the U.S. economy only grew by 0.2% last quarter. People are happiest when that number is in the 3% and 4% range. And during the winter, growth was not even close. For some context, I want to bring in economist David Kelly, chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning.
So I'm seeing here our GDP drained away, or at least the increase did. Are we doomed, Dr. Kelly?
No. It obviously was a pretty weak number for the first quarter, but there are a lot of special factors which were eating away at that number, and we do think things will get better in the second quarter and for the rest of the year.
Everybody keeps saying the weather was lousy that quarter. I mean, it's the winter. The weather's always lousy. Is that really what's going on here?
It was a little lousier than average, and you can see that in some of the construction numbers. But there were other things which were actually more important. We saw a very big fall in oil exploration. You know, these low oil prices are causing the energy companies to cut back in investment, so that was a factor. But then also we had this West Coast dock worker strike, and we noticed that real net exports fell by $50 billion. That's about a 1.25% move in GDP. So that on its own accounts for a lot of the weakness. And we do think we're going to bounce back from that in the second quarter.
That'll be good. Also, I suppose the high dollar was hurting some of the companies.
It may be having an effect. I think that effect will kick in a little bit more later on this year. But there's another thing. Government spending fell. It's actually fallen in every one of the last 6 years. I mean, they're supposed to seasonally adjust these numbers. I'm not sure they're doing that correctly. But we think government spending will pick up also. So, you know, I think it was a pretty cool quarter, but I think people should sort of cool down in their reaction to it, because I do think things will get better as this year goes on.
David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds, thank you for this.
Anytime.
Let's check the numbers. The Dow is down 44 points, 0.25%. The S&P 500 down 0.3%. NASDAQ down 0.1% in the first 23 minutes of trading. There's news that Virginia-based Lumber Liquidators lost money last quarter. The company has been on the hot seat for allegedly selling tainted wood. The Justice Department said just this morning it's filing criminal charges. Lumber Liquidators stock is down 18% now. The Securities and Exchange Commission is set to release new rules today for comparing executive pay to company performance. This is part of the big law passed in the wake of the last financial crisis. The idea is to help investors get a better sense of whether CEOs are worth what they're getting. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein has been following this. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, David.
So the SEC will release proposed rules, but they still have to be discussed. They would do what?
Well, it sounds pretty straightforward. If the rules finalized, companies would have to include a new table in their annual reports that measures actual pay for these high earners. The idea is to make it easier for shareholders to look at how much these men and women earn compared to a company's actual financial performance. Theoretically, this is going to help investors push back if the company is struggling and executives are living large.
Any early reactions to where these rules seem to be going?
It's being welcomed by folks who watch the executive compensation space. There's a hope that the SEC plan would bring some predictability here, David. According to the Wall Street Journal, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which by design is pro-business, as you know, has endorsed at least the concept here. It's worth noting that this plan doesn't seem as controversial as other ideas the SEC is kicking around. For instance, later this year, regulators are expected to finalize a rule that would require companies to disclose the pay gap between the CEO and typical employees. The Economic Policy Institute took a look at some of these numbers. The company with the largest gap is Walt Disney. In 2014, the CEO there made nearly $44 million, while the average employee earned $19,500, a ratio, David, of 2,238 to 1.
All right, Dan, thank you. Listen to this list of schools with something in common: Caltech, MIT, Carleton College in Minnesota, Concord's Community College in New Hampshire, Lee College in Texas, and Pueblo Community College in Colorado. They are all ranked at the very top for adding economic value, meaning grads end up getting paid more. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman explains.
Researchers at the Brookings Institution crunched the numbers on thousands of 2- and 4-year colleges, comparing graduates' mid-career salaries, also financial aid and career preparation, and capacity to pay off student debt. Jonathan Rothwell is the lead researcher.
What public policymakers and students themselves are interested in is, what is the college going to do for me? What contribution is the college going to make to my future career?
Rob Franek is publisher of the Princeton Review. His popular college guide ranks some of the most prestigious brand name universities. But he says with tuition rising ever higher,
you can't say just because of brand perception, my output of tuition dollars is going to pay off. A community college might turn out to be the best value for a student paired with a bachelor's degree in a couple of years.
The federal government is preparing its own economic assessments of colleges. Those results could affect schools' access to funding for financial aid. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And the National Football League will start paying federal taxes. While the teams themselves pay taxes on their profits, the league office itself heretofore has not, since nonprofits are tax-exempt. Andrew Zimbalist is an economics professor at Smith. He says part of the decision is that nonprofit organizations have to report the salaries of their highest-paid employees, such as NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. That is something that may have become a problem for the NFL.
Since the domestic violence case and the way they treated it, and at the same time that that was being discussed in the media, the information came out about Roger Goodell's salary. I think that it was uncomfortable for them. There are a lot of people who were saying, how could the NFL not be taxed? How could Roger Goodell be paid so much money? So I think it's simply an easier route for them to say, whatever minor advantages we were getting from a tax-exempt status, they are now outweighed by the inconveniences and the embarrassment of having that status.
So, the NFL. But Major League Baseball switched from nonprofit to profit back in 2007. Again, the teams, both football and baseball, are for-profit and pay taxes. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.